Read for us this morning. This will be his last Sunday here for 6 months, and so I've asked him if he would read this passage for us. But before he does so, we'll be going through the book of Psalms, some of the Psalms, not the whole book, this summer. And the first 2 months are going to be focusing on cutting a trail, living life on a trail as a path. And the theme for the whole summer is life as an adventure. I believe that, hence the shirt. And I told the first service, I said, I sign everything with live the adventure. I have it on my ID and everything. And then I went to Eddie Bauer and saw this t-shirt, and they stole my idea. It says live your adventure. But anyway, that is what our theme for the summer is going to be, is live life as an adventure. And we're going to take different psalms through the month or through the summer and look at them. And the first 2 months are all, like I said, all going to be based around the idea of life as a trail, life as a path that we choose. And so if you'd like to follow along, read the book of Psalms. We do have a 90-day devotional that is available. This is the last Sunday. There was a miscommunication between me and Diana. She thought I was going to order it. I thought she was going to order it. But it works out well. We have those miscommunications every once in a while. But it works out well. It's the last Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet over there. If you ordered one already, yours may be in. Your name's on there. There's an envelope if you have cash. If you want to put it on a check and say Psalms book, we just need to keep track of that. But if you'd like to order a 90-day devotional, the book is on different psalms, sign your name up and we will order it tomorrow, okay? And so it's the last opportunity for you to order one. Some of you have asked me how my vacation went, and I wanted to kind of get that started first, and then I'll have Dominic come up and then I will pray. Sunday on the way there, we stopped at Greenwood to have my bike worked on a little bit, stopped at Greenfield to stop and eat, and then somewhere between Newcastle and Richmond, we ran into a traffic standstill for 6 hours. We sat on the interstate for 6 hours. About 4 to 5 miles ahead of us was a wreck going into a construction zone. A semi had hit an SUV, pushed it underneath another SUV. There was a traffic fatality. And we stopped about 3:45, got started about 9:45. But fortunately, you know, when you think things through, that could have been us. I mean, that's a real possibility. That could have been us. It wasn't snowing, it wasn't raining, and it wasn't hot. So I rolled the windows down. We sat there for 6 hours. I read. Joe played on her computer or on her phone. I turned the truck on occasionally for her to charge her phone up. I got out every once in a while and talked to people. We had an interesting car in front of us. I think they were from Nigeria, maybe, with the accent. They had 3 boys, which was really interesting when one of the young ones had to go to the bathroom really, really, really bad. and then had a lady, and there was a horse trader, three vehicles behind us. There had been a horse show up at Cloverdale, and there was a whole bunch of horse traders behind us. Well, this lady was walking around with a bag of treats, you know, Cheetos and Doritos and stuff, and she said, "Would you like some?" And we had just eaten, so we said no, and then she leaned down into my window and said, looked at Joe, said, "There is a bathroom in my trailer if you need it." So I didn't need it. She did. So, we had a lot of laughter. I interacted with some of the people. You know me, I like to talk. So I got up and talked with some of the truckers and some of the people. About 9:45, they finally let us go. We were safe. We got to Ohio, or to Pennsylvania, and had a chance to visit my dad. Some of you asked how my dad is. I am now a family friend. That is what the dementia has done. He does not remember me as his son anymore. And it kind of helps Rob a little bit, because Rob sees him more often than I do, my brother. And Rob always saw me as the favored one. You know, I was the golden child. Now Rob is the son, and I'm the family friend. But it was a nice visit with he and his wife. And then we went back to Ohio and spent some time with Braden and his parents. That's how you do. And, you know, and it's kind of like the old saying is true. If I'd known grandchildren were this much fun, I'd have had them first, you know. But we got to see Captain America Civil War with him, and we just had a good time watching him play baseball a little bit till the downpour. But we had a safe trip. We went to Janet's church, went there. But I can honestly say it was good to be home. Good to be back in my own bed, and it's good to be here. Even though you try to forget what's going on, you don't forget. And I knew what was going on, looked at my watch and said, well, Phil's probably talking about now. Half hour later, Phil's probably still talking. But I understand it was really, really, went really well, and appreciate you guys filling everybody in on your trip and so on. But we're going to be going through different psalms through the summer with a theme called Life is an Adventure. And I've asked Dominic if he would come and read Psalm 16 for us, and he was just asked before he got here. So if he stumbles over a word or two, give him some grace. If he can't pronounce the, just understand.
Good morning. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, there are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Thanks, Dominic. We do have two folks to mention to you for prayer. Marilyn Hill's brother, Dennis Martin, is having a quadruple bypass surgery tomorrow. She has prayer for him. And then Dawn has asked us to pray for the family of Lanny Caldwell. It is her cousin's pastor in Indianapolis, and he just died yesterday. So she's asked us to pray for him. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, lead us to the cross. Lead us to you. Help us to see you in all things. I pray that as we see life as an adventure, that you'll help us to realize that we cannot do this adventure alone, that we need you. And so we pray that as we study, that you will open your word up to us. Help us to grasp what is here. Help us to see it for what is there and how we can apply it to our own lives. I pray for Marilyn's brother, Dennis, and I pray for the family of Lanny and the church that's there in Indianapolis. I pray that you will bring comfort to them and be with Dennis as he goes through surgery, and ask that you'll keep him safe. And I pray, Father, that you will find empty and willing hearts to hear what you have to say. And as we begin this trek, as we cut our trail, pray that you'll just prepare the path before us and help us to see it. And then, Lord, as I bring the message, would you help me to step aside that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. In his name I pray. Amen. In spite of the song that says, life is a highway, I want to ride it all night long, you and I both realize life is not a highway. To me, life is a jungle. In fact, I wish it was like an interstate where it's nice and smooth, but to me, life is full of roots. It's full of trees, sometimes so thick that I can't see. It's full of paths that are marked, and some where the markings are knocked down. Sometimes its weather is clear. Sometimes the weather is ugly. Sometimes there are traps laid for me, and there are people and things and circumstances waiting to grab my unprepared heart. When I was a kid, in elementary school, I loved to read. Now, I grew up in Pennsylvania, steel mill country, and so I loved to read adventure stories. But I loved to read stories of Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie, and some of the Indian chiefs. I just loved that because it took me away from everything that I knew, the ugliness of the steel mill, the dirtiness of it, and took me out to a country that, to me, I wish I could have lived in. But then I started thinking about it as I got older. I thought, you know, that was no better to live in than what we have now. Because if you've ever seen the scene in Last of the Mohicans where Hawkeye and Chingachgook and Uncas comes back to the log cabin where it's burned down, they are all they see is death and ugliness. Those things were typical of life in the wilderness. They were typical of life when this country was unfounded, so to speak. And people had to cut the trail. They had to go through and they had to make their way. They had to cut their wood by hand. Life is not a highway. Life is an adventure. And I want to share with you over the next 3 months why I believe that life is an adventure. The ups and downs, the sideways and every which ways. But I want you to see that life is an adventure, but we are not going through this adventure alone. So what I'd like to do is to begin by taking you and asking you to take time for a backward glance. Now, if you look at verse 8 of chapter 16 of Psalm, it seems strange that we would talk about a backward glance, because he said, I have set the Lord before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It seems strange that we would talk about taking a backward glance when we've set the Lord before us. But there is something that we need to understand. When we look at the past, there are three things we can do. When we look backwards, there are three things we can do. Number one, we can be paralyzed by it. We can allow it to destroy us, and we can allow it to hold us captive. The second thing we could do is that we could use it as a stepping stone to something better. We can say, you know, I know that happened to me in the past, but I'm going to allow it to challenge me to do something for the future. Or the third thing we can do is that we can learn lessons from the past and share them with somebody else. It is those last two that I really want to focus on today and over the next 3 months. Those lessons that we have learned to say, you know, I am not bound by my past. It is done. I'm over with it. Now I'm moving ahead. And when you boil it all down, when you take it all down, it comes down to one of two things. You can either live a wasted life or you can live a wise life. That's it. You can either live a wasted life or a wise life, but hear this, please. It comes down to what trail you choose to walk on. The last Sunday of July, we'll be looking at, right now, Psalm chapter 1. Very clear distinction made between the righteous man and the unrighteous. The righteous man is like a tree planted by the waters. And the unrighteous man is the exact opposite. So we have to choose the trail that we're going to walk on. It is interesting to me as I was working on this message and this whole series that all of a sudden I'm hearing these people saying, you know, Bill, one of my bucket list things is to walk the Appalachian Trail. I heard that over and over, and then I visited somebody where their son had gone on the Appalachian Trail and had pictures of it, and I thought, wow, that is absolutely beautiful. It's tough, but it's beautiful. And it's good to go on the trail, but what's the key? Don't get off the trail. Because you see, over and over there are stories of people who have gotten lost. Even though the Appalachian Trail is so well marked, they've gotten lost and they've lost their lives because they got off the trail. The same thing is true for us. We need to stop chasing rabbit trails. And we need to start staying on the trail. And here's why. Every life, every trail has a past, a present, and a future. Every trail has a past, a present, and a future. I'd like to ask you, if you would please, to turn to Psalm 71 with me. Before we go to Psalm 16, I'd like you to go to Psalm 71. And David is an old man when he's writing this. And you'll see that as he writes this, you can see his words coming out. Beginning with verse 5, I'm just going to read certain verses out of this. Psalm 71, verse 5 to verse 7 to start with. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent, which means an omen or a bad thing to some people. But you are my refuge. Now watch this, verse 9. Do not cast me off in my time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, or no hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. In verse 20, finally, you who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You'll bring me up again. Now let me go back and tell you, David is an old man. He doesn't have this adrenaline to go to battle flowing through his blood and veins anymore. He can't hardly raise his arm to raise his sword. He's tired. His strength is gone. But the one thing David says is, Lord, help me to share what I have learned with the generations behind me. I don't care how old a person is. I don't care how young a person is. Every one of us have a story to tell. And every one of us have a story to share with somebody else. Especially when God has taken our past and renewed it and made us different. I heard someone yesterday be called by another name. And he said, my name is no longer that. My name is this, because I buried that person. Because this other person knew what he was like. And he said, I buried that person. I'm a new person. And you see, that's what God does for each one of us. David is looking back and he's saying, God, I'm old. I don't have the strength I used to have. Old kings, when they got old, didn't go to battle anymore. They stood in the back and let everybody else do the work. David is no longer on the front lines fighting the battle. But he says, I am not done yet. Revive me, God. Give me strength. Help me to share what I have learned with the generation to come. Interesting, David's generation's words are still coming. But he wasn't done. So, what do we do with our past? We can't change it. We can learn from it. We can live in the present. Because you see, it's in the present that we can control. We can't even control our future. We don't even have to worry about that. It's now. And when we do, we have God's perspective. So that leads us to one last thing. David's trail is shutting down. Take time for a forward look. And I'd like you to go to Psalm 16. We're going to spend the rest of the morning there. As you go through here, you're going to see some familiarity. You would see some familiarity in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 19 and 20, because the words are similar. There are three lessons I want us to see out of this psalm that I believe are important for us to learn. The first thing we need to do is we can remember who God is. We can remember who God is. Verses 1 and 2. I want to read them again, please. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. When we begin to see God for who God is, our whole perspective changes. Now, I want to show you something that's really interesting in this passage. There are three words used for God in this one verse, in these two verses. There is Elohim, there is Jehovah, and there is Adonai. Let me show them to you. And each one of them tell a story. In verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. The word there is Elohim. El is the most common name for God, and it's translated a strong arm, strong and mighty. So it's saying that God is the mighty one. He's the powerful one. That's why he says, in you I can take refuge, because God is the one who pulls us under his arms, protects us. He's the one that we run to when the waves are just crashing against us and we can stand. He becomes our refuge. The second one is Jehovah, and that's in the first part of verse 2. He says, I say to the Lord. Now in the Hebrew, that word Lord is capitalized, capital L-O-R-D. Here Jehovah speaks of God's personal interest in me and you. We sang a song that tells you exactly who Jehovah is. He is the great
I am.
That's what the word means. He is the great I am. He takes a personal interest in me and you. And the third one is Adonai. That's the other Lord. You are my Lord. And David is saying, he is speaking of God's presence. He's speaking of God's presence. He's our master. And what David does in these first two verses is he shows God as a very powerful, majestic, ever-present God. Not somebody who's a million miles away, but someone who's right there with us. Someone we can run to. Someone we can cling to. Someone we can hang on to. And someone who will hang on to us. There's a second thing we need to do. We need to remember who God is. The second thing we need to do is we need to rehearse what God is doing. Verses 5 through 8 show us that. And I need to say that before we go, need to say this before we go there. God never sleeps. God never slumbers. In fact, the book of Psalms says that he never sleeps nor slumbers. When you and I get tired, he doesn't. When you and I go to sleep, God doesn't. He never grows weary, Isaiah says. Even though young men faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall, God never does. Okay, so I need to say that to start with. And here's the other thing, is God knows all the details of our lives that's going on. Unfortunately, he doesn't share them. At least not ahead of time. Sometimes we have to go beyond and look back before we see, oh yeah, I'm beyond the forest, now I see what he's doing. But watch what David does. I want to unpack these verses with you. The first thing David says is God is our completeness. Verse 5. He says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. He is saying, God is all I need. He's all I need. I wish we could get that message out to everybody that God's all they need. They don't need the junk. They don't need the crutches. They don't need to run to things that are not going to last, because God is all they need. The second thing he says is God is our certainty. In verse 5 he says, you hold my lot. That's a Hebrew phrase for God takes care of my circumstances. God takes care of all my circumstances. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a second here. If that is true, why does this happen? Well, life is not a highway. Life is a jungle. It's an adventure. And so it's not at all going to go smooth. And life isn't fair. How many times have you told your kids that? Life isn't fair. Get over it. But you see, God knows our circumstances. David was a nomad for a lot of years. David lost everything that he had. Everything. Running from Saul. Running from his enemies. Even running from his son. He lost everything, but he learned that God was his certainty. The third thing we are told is that God is our contentment. Verse 6. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. You know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. If that's the case, then why are we one of the most miserable generations that have ever lived on this planet? We complain more than we are content. We complain more than we praise. I wrote this down. We want for nothing and everything. We want for nothing and everything. We are decidedly dissatisfied. It's got to be a problem with that. And it's because we haven't learned contentment. And there's one last thing David tells us, that God is our confidence. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. That's a powerful statement. Take some time and meditate on that. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. So we review what God has done. We rehearse what he does now. There's only one thing left to do. We rejoice in what God will do. We rejoice in what God will do. I am amazed when I read the Bible. I'm amazed when I learn something new, like I did this time. It always amazes me when you take the Bible as a whole, what you can learn. Now let me show you what I mean, because I hope you are prepared to be amazed. Okay, and that is not a glib line. That is not an eye catcher. I hope you are prepared to be amazed. Watch this. Verse 10. First of all, David rejoices in his own resurrection. He said, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol." Second, or let your Holy One see corruption. Holy One in the Hebrew is capitalized. Who is it referring to? Jesus. What happens here is David gets a glimpse that his own resurrection is going to happen. But it's like God peels back a little curtain and lets David glimpse thousands of years ahead of time, and he sees his king, his master, his Lord, what? Alive. I don't know about you, but that amazes me. Because God stripped back a little bit of the veil and allowed David to see the future. And David says, I will not see corruption, but even better than that, the Holy One, the one who's to come, is not going to see corruption. Let me put it this way. We have a hope, not in this life. We have a hope because the Holy One rose from the dead. We have a hope because he does not see corruption, and those who are his people will not see corruption either. I'm amazed by that, that God would do that with David, that he would strip it back just a little bit and give him a glimpse of the future so that no one will see decay. At the beginning of the message, I said you had two choices. You can either live a what? Wasted life or a wise life. All dependent on what? The path that you chose. You see, the path you choose determines whether you will live a wasted life or a wise life. I read a story of four men who were climbing the Matterhorn. There was a guide, number one, tourist number one, guide number two, tourist number two. As they were climbing the mountain, suddenly tourist number two lost his footing. started falling. His immediate fall then pulled the guide. So guide number two began to fall. His pull brought tourist number one down as well. Suddenly, it looked like they were all going to go, but what they didn't realize is that guide number one, as soon as he felt a slight tug, he took his pickaxe and he jammed it into the ice, and it held. Here were three men dangling with their lives, all reliant on one. Gradually, tourist number one got his footing, got up. Guide number two got his footing and got up. Tourist number two got his footing, was able to get up, and they continued to climb. All because guide number one knew exactly what to do and knew what to do with the axe and jam it in the ice. And it's like he was looking back and saying, "Guys, I got you. I got this. Now get your bearings and get back up here." You know what? That's God. God says, "I got you. And I'm holding you. I'm not going to let you go. My axe is in this ice, and it is not going anywhere because I'm not going anywhere. God's got you." And when you're cutting a trail, when you're knocking down your roots and you're knocking down these trees that are in front of you and you're trying to get rid of all the demons that are there, God's walking with you and saying, "Got this for you. I'm not going to let you go. We're going to do this together." And he says the same thing to you. "I got you. And we're going to cut this trail together. You're not alone." Let's pray. And Father, I ask that you might help us to begin to get rid of our past, to stop allowing the past to hold us, to destroy us, to hold us back, to make us a slave. But instead, help us to realize that you are the God who is, and you are the God who is powerful and almighty and all-knowing and everywhere present, and you got us. Thank you for holding us. Thank you for hanging on to us when we are flailing our arms and our legs and wondering, "Where in the world am I going to get a foothold?" You've got us. And Lord, as we cut this trail, as we go through these chapters in Psalms, I just pray that you'll just help us to see the steadiness and the faithfulness of a God who's so greater than we could ever think or imagine. I pray for each person in this room. Help them to leave here different today than when they walked in, trusting more in a God who loves them than they did when they walked in. Ready to step out and say, "Lord, I'll do this, but you got to go with me because I can't do it alone." As we cut down the vines, as we cut down the chains and cut off the chains that bind our hearts, you take the axe and you do it and hold our hand and walk with us. And I pray that if there's somebody here today who needs to know Jesus, that they'll seek somebody out and say, "I want to talk to somebody. I want to know about Jesus." And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go into